Here we go. Right.
So,
how are you?
Does everybody, you know, I should put this on the.
Josh Kapulski sends
regards. Oh, it's working. This man, we're going to move from Yoredeya to Or HaChaim. Because we had talked last year about switching gears a little bit, but staying practical. So we're going to focus on some topics in Hilchos Shabbos. That's the game plan. And we're going to start with an area that I personally, until this year, didn't spend so much time investigating, and that is Hilchos Muktzah, which is quite a common occurrence. Now, I don't know in your house how many situations of Muktzah come up, but in my house, Muktzah comes up all the time. Not just with my kids, but just by the by, things are coming. You know, certain circumstances come up that things are coming your way, and you're not sure. Can I move it this way? Can I move it that way? Is it really muktzah? Is it not really muktzah? So I think by going through some of these halachas in the Shulchan Aruch, it'll give us a much more informed perspective on how to handle the situations that come up. Again, I can't tell you what goes on in your house, but like almost every Shabbos, questions of muktzah come up in the house, and we just want to know how to tackle those questions. So the first thing to do is to figure out. But before we actually start the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Shin Ches, and I'm sorry, it's not immediately clear in the Shulchan Aruch, but this is really the backdrop, is we need to figure out what's actually the historical context for the Isser of Muktzah. When was the Isser of Muktzah instituted? Because, as we know, there are many restrictions on Shabbos, there are many mitzvahs that are operative on Shabbos. Muktzah it's not an Issur D'oraisa. It's not one of the 39 Avos Melacha. It's not a Tolda. It's an Issur D'Rabbanan. The question is, what are the origins of Muktzah? And we'll see there are going to be some ramifications, practical ramifications, to what are the origins of Muktzah. So the Gemara has actually two conflicting presentations. There's one Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Chav Gimel that says that the institution of Muktzah was implemented in the days of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the partner in crime with Ezra, who was involved in the rebuilding of the second base of Mikdash. In the days of Nehemiah, the Navi describes that people were unfortunately very lax in their Shabbos observance. They were carrying things to do business, and Nehemiah and the rabbis at the time instituted some very harsh stringencies to deal with this Shabbos laxity. So what did they do? They instituted an Isser on handling various items in people's homes. Ad kedei kach, they assered basically everything except for your bare necessities like your fork, and in those days they didn't even use cutlery, like your food and your fork and some svarim, and that's it. Everything else you weren't allowed to handle. Nothing. Zero. No chairs, no tables, nothing. And then the Gemara says, chazur v'hitiru, chazur v'hitiru. Then they relaxed the rules when they saw the people were going to take Shabbos more seriously. That's one Gemara. But the Gemara says earlier in Daf Lamed Amud Beis that David HaMelech died on Shabbos. That's what the Gemara says. He died on Shabbos. And Shlomo HaMelech came to the rabbis with a quandary because he said, my father's body is lying in the sun. And I want to know what to do because it's a bizayon. It's a lack of kavod habrius. There's no dignity here. But he is conscious of the fact that he has a problem, which is that because of the fact that his father's deceased, his corpse, he is an Isser Muktzah. You can't move him. So wait a second. Shlomo HaMelech, that preceded by several centuries, preceded Nehemiah by several centuries. So this is right off the bat a problem because it seems like it was instituted in one period, and in fact, it sounds like it was instituted in a much earlier period.
Where was the story recorded?
Both those in Gemara's and Shabbos. One is in Kuf Chav Gimel, the other one's in Laman Amid Beis. It's the same Masechta. They didn't forget from one part to the other. So that's one thing. Another observation we could make is in terms of understanding what's the rationale. Why did the rabbis institute this issue? Now, just for a parenthetical point, when we talk about the Isser of Muktzah, we don't mean, let's say like this, when I was growing up, if I were standing next to a car and I would do this to the car, it won't fall down if I touch it, right? If I did this to the car, so somebody would probably scream at me and say, you're violating Muktzah. You're not allowed to do Muktzah. So you should just be aware, this is not Isser Muktzah.
Touch a car.
You could touch anything according to the strict halacha, and it's not a problem of Muktzah. Muktzah is handling something. If you don't handle it, if you don't move it with your hands, now, there are other ways of moving things that are different levels, but if you don't move something, if I have a recorder and I touch it without moving it, that's not an Isra of Muktzah. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan does say that we should be careful. He quotes some opinions who say that we shouldn't touch Muktzah either, because invariably, when we touch Muktzah, very often we end up moving it. But from the strict legal perspective, the Isra Muktzah is what we call tiltal, handling Muktzah. So that's just to get the terminology straight.
What is the... Sounds like a very rookie question, but what does the word actually mean?
Excellent. So we're going to get to that in a second. We're going to get to that in a second once we understand why this concept came around. We're going to see that the... We're going to get to that in 1 second. So the question is, what's the shoresh? Come on, guys. Imagine it's like working on the patient. Excuse me. So what's the reason for this prohibition of handling various items? So the Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Kuf Chav Dal, there's a similar Gemara in Beitza. The Gemara says, we're concerned that you might carry this particular item. If I'm busy handling this recorder, maybe I'm so busy handling it, I might carry it out into the public domain, and that would be an Issa D'oraisa to carry. Hotzah is an Issa D'oraisa, it's one of the 39 malachos, to carry in a Rishus HaRabim a certain distance, or to carry from a private area to a public area.
But then you shouldn't be able to pick anything up.
Oh, so obviously they had to limit this, because otherwise you would have no Onik Shabbos, you would have no life. But they restricted it to certain kinds of kalim, which we'll talk about in a little bit. What right now, so far, we've only talked about in the days of Nehemiah. We didn't tell you what that. We didn't even discuss what that was. The David HaMelech, we only know about the corpse. Then that's the opinion that's quoted by the Ravid on the Rambam. However, the Rambam has several other suggestions. The Rambam has one suggestion, which he calls a derivative of the requirement in the pasuk of Laman Yanuach, that a person should rest. If we spend the whole day fiddling and handling all the things that we have in our house, so we won't rest. Mm-hmm. We have to have a shvisa hanikeres. You have to have a clearly discernible time of rest.
So babies should be mutzah.
Especially if you have more than one at a time. It's an added level of excitement.
Exactly.
So the Rambam says you need a shvisa hanikeres. He adds a third suggestion that you might come to do a malacha. Let's say if I have a hammer and I'm handling the hammer, I might see a nail, I might bang it into the wall. But the core issue for the Rambam is this Laman Yanuach idea. It says that if a person handles everything the way that they handle things during the week, that there won't be any distinction in the fact that they're observing Shabbos. And Shabbos is supposed to permeate our lives for that period. Mm-hmm. Right? The whole idea of Shabbos is that we take a step back. We have 39 Avos Malacha, which are the creative expressions that we have in the world. And we say, you know, for one day a week, we realize the Ribono Shel Olam, he runs the world. We refrain from all of these activities so we can focus on what are the values that we're supposed to be living with during our whole life, during the rest of the week. Now, sometimes our personal observance of Shabbos sometimes is in need of inspiration to get that. I can't speak for anybody else, but my Shabbos always needs once in a while a little bit of chizuk. So that's something that we need to aspire to. But at the end of the day, if we're just acting as we would on a regular day, if we dressed the same way we did and we spoke the way we did and we conducted ourselves the way we did in every other day, so Shabbos would blow the whole purpose. We miss everything. So these seem to be two different rationales. One is maybe that we'll carry. The other one is about the spirit of Shabbos and the experience of Shabbos and the spiritual nature of Shabbos. So there is a suggestion that is offered, and maybe we'll just kind of amalgamate this based on a comment of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Alter Rebbe. Some suggest that these two reasons are in fact disputing each other. Some say the Ravid says it's because maybe you'll carry, the Rambam says it's about the spiritual nature of Shabbos, and they're not together. However, if you look carefully at the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and this fits actually with a comment of the Ritva on the Gemara, perhaps these are not two separate and distinct reasons that cannot coexist, but they're actually complementary. If we could suggest that perhaps, and the Aruch HaShulchan does say this, that not exactly the way I'm formulating now, but this concept, that the Isra Muktzah was actually instituted in two stages. There actually was a development of the Isra Muktzah that came in two stages, and that perhaps is reflected by the different rationale for the Isra Muktzah. Perhaps the first Isra Muktzah was already known, perhaps as the Aruch HaShulchan, all the way from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Matan Torah. And what was that? That was the Rambam's formulation of like a spiritual focus for the day. And then the rabbis understood that if you're going to be handling things that have no purpose, that's just fiddling for the sake of fiddling, that have no constructive purpose on this day, then you're not going to be really experiencing, you're not really focused on your Shabbos. And that means that anything which has no value whatsoever, that is junk, that has no value, is therefore what we call mukta. The word mukta, lahakti, the concept is set aside, it's separated. So anything that has no value is separated. It's out of the picture because it doesn't further our experience of this spiritual notion of Shabbos. That's step one. That was the first institution of Muktzah. But then comes along the Rambam and he says, wait a second, the days of Nehemiah, not only were people doing all kinds of... not only were they missing the spiritual experience of Shabbos, they were even violating Shabbos by taking care of their weekly business and carrying stuff to go to work. So the rabbi said, oh, now we're going to add extra prohibitions. We're not just going to asser anything that is worthless, we're also going to asser things that you may tend to carry out because you're going to be utilizing them for other purposes. So therefore, they assered, they restricted what we call now, the new category called Kli Shemalachto L'Isser. Any utensil which could be used for Isser. It's not junk. It's not the same thing. The original Isser was Mukta. Mukta means things that are set aside because they have absolutely no utility. Now there's a new Isser. This, and well, by the way, Reb Dov, we're not even going to call this Mukta. If you want to be precise about it, a hammer is not Mukta. It's not inherently set aside. Because maybe I could use my hammer to break open my walnuts. My pistachio nuts. We'll talk about this. But the rabbi said, wait a second, we don't want you handling hammers on Shabbos. In the days of Nehemiah, they said, we don't want you handling anything, basically. And then they said, okay, we're going to be matar other things, but we're concerned still that maybe you're going to carry stuff out. And therefore, they added not just the first definition, which was mukta, meaning anything that has no value, has no utility, therefore is off limits, but now they added an isser to handle anything whose purpose is beyond the Shabbos purpose.
Where does the body of David HaMelech fit in?
Bingo.
Which is Kavod HaMeis, which is a little bit more than that.
The answer is, so David HaMelech's body would fit in Muktzah Mamish. Well, how do you know what's junk? So Rav Shechter has a... Rav Eitan and I, we are Talmidim Rav Shechter, so we have many similarities in ideas that we've come up with. So Rav Shechter likes this idea. He points out that there are four kinds of things that have utility. They are Adam, Kalim, Ochlim, and Mashkim. And there are many parallels in this realm to things that are Mekabel Tumah. The Gemara says that the rules of Muktzah aren't exactly, but very closely related to things that are Kabbalas, have Kabbalas Tumah. So any Adam V'Kalim, people and vessels, so people become Tumah, vessels become Tumah. Now there are some discrepancies about which vessels exactly how. Let's say if you have a flat wooden board, it also could be a Kli, even though it's not Mekabel Tumah, etc. Ochlim Mashkim, foods and drink, food items and drink. Anything which is Adam V'Kalim, Ochlim Mashkim, it's not Muktzah. But let's say sticks, stones, leaves, or a corpse. So that's mukta, has no utility. Why are you picking it up on Shabbos? If you're just right. Handling something that has...
And a mace, if the whole thing is... I mean, you can't actually have a Levi on Shabbos, so there is no purpose. So you would think that if one of the original categories would probably be that a mace would be mukta.
Exactly.
What you can do with it.
Bingo, and that was Shlomo HaMelech Shaila. He says, I know that the mace is mukta, but what about the Kavod HaBriyos? So the rabbis came up with a heter, a special heter, which we'll talk about at some point later on, called the heter of Kikar Otinok, where they said to him, well, if you put something which is permitted on top of the corpse, then you can pick up the corpse, agav, so to speak, as a way, exactly, as a way of carrying it. And the Gemara says it's a special heter just for the Kavod HaBriyos of this corpse. And the Gemara has another heter just in case of emergency. But the idea is that now I understand the development of this Isser is that it's to focus on the Shabbos, and there are two levels. The first level is the Isser of Muktzah, that's anything that has no utility. And then the second Isser is the Isser of Tiltul Kalim. So there are several nafgaminas of this. One of them is, there's a very basic machlokas that you're going to see if you study Masechah Shabbos that comes up all over the place, machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda about Muktzah. Because as we're going to see over the coming weeks, there are like zillions of categories of Muktzah, all different kinds of things. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda dispute whether or not certain categories of Muktzah exist or not. I'll give you an example. Let's say I have a birthday cake. So I have a birthday cake. My son, Ilan, is going to have his birthday in November. He's been talking about his birthday for several weeks. So let's say I bake a birthday cake for my son, Ilan, and I put it in the freezer. Now, am I going to eat this birthday cake on Shabbos? No way. He'd kill me if I ate his birthday cake on Shabbos. So there's no way I'm going to eat his birthday cake on Shabbos. Or let's say I have a shop, I have a store, and I have inventory, merchandise that I'm going to use in the store. Not expensive merchandise. I don't really care about it, but am I going to use it? Am I going to go into my store and use the inventory on Shabbos? No. So Rabbi Yehuda says that's called muktzah, because you're not going to use it on Shabbos. It's set aside. It's not going to be used on Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon says, nah, what do you mean? It's a birthday cake. Let's say you change your mind. You're allowed to change your mind. You can eat your birthday cake and bake him another birthday cake. So there are all kinds of machlokes that we're going to see between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. But one thing we have to keep in mind, all their disputes, they're not really talking about muktzah, the original David HaMelech muktzah. They're only talking about the secondary, the Isser Tiltul muktzah. The cake is a delicious cake, or the inventory and the thing. But they all agree. No one disputes the fact that stones and rocks and sand is all muktzah on Shabbos. That's the first thing. The second thing is there's going to be an interesting nafkamina in Sifhei, which is not even on the sheet, which we'll get to, called Tiltul Aruch, in terms of keeping kalim for a long period of time. We'll get to it when we get to Sifhei. But the point of the matter is that these have two different, two totally different spheres. Now the Beis Yosef takes this further and he breaks it into six categories of muktzah. But I just wanted to illustrate at the beginning two different categories of muktzah, and therefore they have different rules. The category of muktzah that's muktzah mamish, real muktzah, the regional bona fide muktzah, one should not handle that on Shabbos, and there are no simple direct ways to handle it in a direct fashion, because it's muktzah mamish. That's actual muktzah. Can I pick up dirt on Shabbos? No, you can't pick up dirt on Shabbos. Now, we're going to get to the Beis Yosef quotes, like 11 different ways to navigate issues of muktzah, which we'll talk about. But at the most basic level, muktzah, you can't handle it. But the Isser Tiltul Kalim was not said across the board. And there are two key heterim that we're going to talk about that'll appear here that you'll see that are going to come up as we go along, and these are the most important, the most common things. Yeah.
This is a way of thinking of it. Are there specific things that they themselves are just muktzah and that's it? Or if you're Noach, Laman Yanuach is going to suffer because this muktzah is where it is, I guess if we're just carrying it or touching it, then...
Great. Very good. So that's a perfect distinction between the muktzah case, the tier one, and tier two. If you have tier one, let's say you have a mound of dirt. You have some dirt that got in the house. So there are ways to get rid of that dirt, and one of them is going to be a broom. We'll talk about that when the time comes. But I can't go to the dirt and pick up the dirt with my hands and throw it out of my house, because the dirt is muktzah. But if I have... not something from the muktzah category, something from the Isser Tiltul category. So let's say I have a hammer or I have a pair of scissors. So these are, they're not junk, but what are they used for? They're used for malacha, they're klisha malach del Isser. The hammer is used for boneh, the scissors is used for korea or mechatech. So those have an Isser Tiltul on them because they are klisha malach del Isser. This is the primary category of the tier two, is any vessel, as we said, that's used for work. However, the Gemara says there are two key kulas. One is what we call a tzorech gufo, for the use, some of you might be familiar with this terminology, for the use of the item itself. And the other one is letzorech makomo, for the need of the place. So let's say the house was crazy, we were at the doctor, an emergency, something Friday afternoon, we didn't set the table for Shabbos. So we come home Friday afternoon, 10 minutes before Shabbos, jump in the shower, and lo and behold, sitting on the table is a pair of scissors. So if it's a stick that's sitting on the table, so I'm not going to be able to move it with my hands, I'm going to probably, we'll talk about this another time, I'll take my elbow, called Tiltul Muktzah Begufo, and I'll just elbow it off.
So why wasn't that okay with David HaMelech? Why did it matter that the body wasn't considered muktzah itself, but they would have been able to move it
So that's the secondary Gemara's suggestion, was to flip it from one, to handle it in this unusual manner. But ideal, the Gemara uses that as a secondary because it's kind of an undignified way to do it. So therefore, they sought out this more ideal thing, which is the Heter Ki Korotina. But if they couldn't find one, the Gemara says they could have moved it in this kind of backwards way. The Gemara addresses that in the second thing. So I come home. I have on my table this device. Some Kalisha Malachtala Isser. If it's sitting on my table, I need to set the Shabbos table. That's called a Tzorech Makomo. So now I'm allowed to move it out of the way. If I'm walking and my kids leave their Mukta toys on the floor. Now, what does it mean that it's a Mukta toy? What does it mean it's a Mukta toy? Is it Mukta Mamish? No, it's not Mukta Mamish. It's a toy. It has utility. It's a Kli. Rather, it's an Isser Tiltal. Well, if it's an Isser Tiltal, why is it an Isser Tiltal? Because it has electric components to it. But it's sitting in the way. If I don't move it out of the way, I'm going to fall. And it's bothering me. It's in the middle of my living room. So then you're allowed to pick it up. Again, assuming that when you pick it up, it's not going to make noise. You're not going to turn on the lights or anything, because that's a separate malacha. That's a separate issue. You can pick it up and you move it out of the way. You don't have to do it with your elbow. Why not? Because it's bothering me. It's in the middle of the floor. I'm supposed to walk by. I'm going to fall down.
Or if, let's say, you needed to cut some food, and you use that scissors, that would be Letzarech Gufo.
Bingo. Now, the Mishnah Brura, right, so the Mishnah Brura has an observation, which most of the earlier poskim didn't seem to have this, but the Mishnah Brura suggests it, so poskim recommend. They say, Mishnah Brura says, look, if you have two equal opportunities, one is to use a Kalisha Malachta Leheter, a knife, and the other one is to use a Kalisha Malachta Leiser, a scissors, you should use the Kalisha Malachta Leheter. But, very often, the scissors is better. Why? So let's say, for example, you're cutting open a bag.
I was going to say grapes. But...
grapes. Okay, so it's easier to use the scissors. So it's much easier to use the scissors. But also, you're cutting open a bag, and we want to avoid...
Oh. It's worth it to come to that.
Yeah, I think
so. So some postman will say, no, use the knife. But if it's much easier, use the scissors. So many postman will say, use the scissors. But let's say... what was the other example I was going to use?
Cutting open the package.
Yeah, cutting open the package. Very often, you want to open a package on Shabbos, but there's a big issue, according to many poskim, with tearing the letters on the package. So sometimes, the easiest thing to do is to get a scissor, so you can cut it carefully, and this way, you avoid cutting the letters by using the scissors. Mm-hmm. Or the same thing, if you have a one of those plastic tags on the back of the shirt that's driving you nuts, which Mir Sashem, one day when we talk about Malechas Korea, that you're allowed to rip that off, you're allowed to break that plastic little tag thing. So if you can't break it and you don't have a knife handy, or the knife that you have handy hasn't been sharpened since 1965 when your grandmother sharpened it, so you take a scissor, you just cut it off. Because the Kalisha Malachtali, Sirbet Zorach Gufo, is for the need of itself. Same thing, by the way, will be, believe it or not, okay, now let's... there are going to be a lot of machloks in around here, so Rabbi Eitan and I will occasionally look to each other to find out. You know, he'll pask in the shayla. I'll just defer to him. But the same thing, believe it or not, will happen very often with electric appliances that are not expensive. We're going to get to talking about expensive appliances, but if you have an electric. A simple pshat, according to most poskim, the standard psak about electric appliances is that they are a kli shemalachto le'iser. They are a utility. They have utility, which is a malacha, either turning them on or turning them off. So let's say I'm in camp, and I have a fan, and I'm sleeping on my bed, and I'm hot, and the fan is turned the other way. So it's clearly a kli shemalachto le'iser, but I'm allowed to turn the fan toward me because I want the cool air. But let's say the opposite is true. Let's say I'm sleeping in my bed in camp, and it's nighttime, and the fan is on, it's freezing. So then, it's not Letzorech Gufo, but it's Letzorech Makomo. I want to sleep in a warm bed. I don't want to sleep in a cold bed. Memela, it's going to be mutter to take the fan and turn it the other way.
Why is that a good enough reason to turn?
Because it's Letzorech Gufo. It's for the need of itself. The same way, let's say I have a hammer. I want to open my walnuts. I don't have a nutcracker, so I'll just take the hammer. That's the Tzorach Gufo. Similar thing comes up. I think it's a meisim that happened occasionally. My alarm clock goes off on Shabbos. Kids are playing with the alarm clock. Never happens to anybody else's house. Mir Tzashem, one day, you'll be Zoche. It'll happen to your house too, please God, soon. The kids are playing with the alarm. Oh, you're also, Mirtz Hashem. The kids are playing with the alarm clock, and it goes off Shabbos morning, 6:30 in the morning, for crying out loud. So the thing is, the
you're sleeping.
So the alarm clock is, what is the alarm clock? It's not mukta mamish, because it's a kli. So it's a kli shemalach d'leser. So it's mutter to move it, letzorach gufo mekomo. So in this case, I can't sleep here. I can't sleep here, so you know what I'll do? So first thing I'll probably do is put some pillows on top of it. If it doesn't quiet down, I'll take it. I can't pull it out of the wall. I can't play with the buttons. I can't turn off the noise, but I can stick it in the drawer and close the drawer on it. Because even though it's Isser Tiltul, but it's a Tzorach Mekomo, I need this place not to have that kli here because it's disturbing me. I can't sleep. So these are the two major categories in Hilchos Mukta. One is Mukta Mamish, the other one is Isser Tiltul. Kli Shemalachta LeIsser is Osser LeTzorach, Osser, except for it's Mutta LeTzorach Guva Mekomo. When is it Osser? When are you not allowed to handle a Kli Shemalachta LeIsser? Two kinds of things. Number one is Shalol LeTzorach Klal, for no reason. And that, by the way, is true even for a Kli Shemalachta LeHeter. If I have a honey dish, I have a honey dish that's sitting in the thing, but I decide I would like to fiddle with it, just handle it. So the Gemara says, that's not proper. Again, because it's going to take away your focus from what you're supposed to be accomplishing to just doing stupid things. So we can't just fidget. There's no fidgeting with a Kli Shemalach D'Laheter. A Kli Shemalach D'Laheter, you're not allowed to fidget with it, but you're also not allowed to move it if the purpose of moving it is only for the item itself. Let's say, for example, I have my alarm clock, not plugged in, with battery-operated alarm clock on my table, and I have my friend, the kleptomaniac, coming for Shabbos. So when he comes, before Shabbos, I usually hide all my possessions, and I forgot to put it away, and it's sitting there on the counter, and I know, my friend, the pickpocket, is going to walk off with my clock. There's nothing I can do about it. So am I allowed to move the alarm clock from here to sneak it, hide it under my bed? So the Gemara says that you're not allowed to do. Because it's not Letzorach Gufo, I'm not using it for a purpose for me, and it's not Letzorach Mekomo, it's what we call Mechama Letzel, it's to protect the item itself. Well, to protect the item itself, that's not permitted. So, in a Kli Shemalach D'Laheter, Tzorach Gufo Mekomo is Mutter, what we call Mechama Letzel, from heat to cold, from sun to shade, Mechama Letzel, or the Mekpnei Aganovim, that's Aser. Okay? Question?
I think I just missed this the first time around. Letzorach Gufo is using something for one's own goof, or
yes,
using the object itself in...
Using
the gufo the object or the person?
I need the object to serve a purpose for me. Meaning, I need that object, Letzora gufo,
right,
for the purpose of that object, but it's to serve me.
To serve a purpose for me that is not
permissible
us,
way.
Exactly. Exactly. So let's say I have a saw, and I want to cut my cheesecake.
Right.
The cheesecake, it's mamish, it's a very frozen cheesecake. So the saw, it's a Kli Shemalach D'Laheter, Letzorach Gufo, because I need the saw to cut my cheesecake.
Mm-hmm.
But the saw sitting on my living room, and let's say the wind is going to come and blow it out the window, so then there's no constructive purpose for me.
I'm having trouble with the fan example, the moving of the fan. It seems like a case where there would not be a distinction between using it in its own malachtel iser normal way and using it letzorach gufo. What would the distinction be? Just turning the switch would be using it as
kli malachtel iser. What's the iser with moving with a fan?
So this is a huge controversy. This is exactly, you're getting to a huge controversy. What is the nature of the utility of the fan? Is it the cold air,
right,
or is it the on off switch?
Mm-hmm.
If it's really the cold air, so some poskim, Rav Moshe has a tshuva, Rav Moshe Feinstein, a tshuva in the Igros Moshe, he has a tshuva where he says, Me'ikar Adin, the whole utility is just the air. And therefore, it should really be Kli Shemalach D'Laheter. Rav Shechter has the opposite extreme. Rav Shechter, L'Havdol Ben Chaim L'Chaim, he assumes, no, the utility is when you handle it, so it's when you turn it on and off. So he suggests that's Kli Shemalach D'Laheter, and he has even a more chumer D'Kashita based on another analysis, which is not for tonight. So There's like a the sefer that we though some of you have spouses who participated in our Hilchos Shabbos series in the summertime with Mirtz Hashem in the wintertime, we'll do that again. The sefer that I referred to several times many times in that Shir series. It's called the Orchel Shabbos, written by two Rabbanim in Yerushalayim. It's a beautiful set of Sfarim. So we refer to it a lot. So he has a discussion about this exact point, and he has this idea, the fusion theory, we could call it, that there are certain things that have a fusion to them. On the one hand, they have an heter component. On the other hand, they have an Iser component. So the fan, electrical appliances, have this unique concept that a clock... What's the hishtamshus of a clock? Well, seeing the numbers. There's no malacha in seeing the numbers. On the other hand, there's the plugging in on, turning off, you know, type of thing. So he sees like this fusion idea, and therefore we categorize it. Most poskim categorize the klishim lachtali iser. But nonetheless, as you're pointing out, in most circumstances, the hishtamshus shabo is going to be letzorach gufo mekomo. But if I have a fan in my room, and if let's say I'm in camp, and I'm sitting in the room, and the ceiling of the bunk is leaking. Never happens in camp, but possibly one time the ceiling is leaking and it's leaking on my fan, and my fan is going to get rusted out. So it's not mutter to move it, because the mechama letzel, I get no... So that would be the nafkamina of calling it a klishim lachalis.
In the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, is one of the different... If the cake example that you gave...
Yeah.
So can something be muktza for you and not muktza for me?
Oh, gevaldige kasha. So this is a whole diyun. We're going to get to this way, please God, way at the end. There are sometimes yes, sometimes no.
And some last if.
The last if in Shulchan Aruch here is about this question. So sometimes it'll depend. Let's say if someone took a neder. If I took a neder not to eat potato chips, not to get any hanah from potato chips. So then it could be that it's mutter for, it's muktza for me, but it's mutter for you. That would be a case. Another question, interesting question, is what about a kli that's not really a full-fledged kli? It's worn down to the point where it's not really a kli, but it's not yet garbage. Let's say I have an old pair of pants, an old pair of suit pants that are worn down. That I, Baruch Hashem, I have to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam, I can afford a good quality clothing. So I consider myself I'm an usher. I'm a wealthy person. But Rachmon al-Litzlan, we know there are people in the Jewish community, there are people in the world who are not a begeder usher, they're an ani. And they would wear a worn-out pair of pants. So what's the din in that case? So there's an interesting discussion in Shulchan Aruch, what's the status of clothing that is worn down, which are not used by the usher, but yes, used by the ani. So there's a machlokas. The simple definition is that it depends on the owner. That if the owner of the pants is an ani, so then those pants are now, they have the status of a kli, so they're mutter for everybody. If the owner of the pants is an usher, and he devalues them, so then, and inherently, it's not like if I took a brand new DVD player and said, it's garbage. That's not, it's still a DVD player, but this is worn down. So if the usher owns it, so then he can make it muktzah for the ani. There is a dissenting view of the Taz, who views differently, that sometimes depends on which direction, but it's interesting. Usually it's objectively defined, except in like these weird cases of a guy who takes a neder. But
even if I don't have any walnuts, then I have no purpose for a hammer. But you're sitting there with a pile of walnuts, so I can't move the hammer. But you can.
So sometimes, again, very good. So sometimes there's another kind of case where you will find muktzah in one context and not in another. So the Gemara talks about rare, we didn't even get to this yet, rare food items. Let's say elephant food. Special elephant food. So the thing is, most people in the neighborhood don't own elephants. So in that case, so the elephant food is muktzah. Because it has no utility. It's like Eitzim Avonim V'Yafar. But if let's say you have an elephant, then taka, for you it's not muktzah.
Fish food,
there you go. So it could be that fish food, if you have fish food for you is for sure not muktzah. They're mezono sein alecha, they look to you for food. And the people who don't have fish, so for you it's going to be muktzah, because you don't have fish. However, it could be a little bit different, meaning if, let's say everybody in the community has fish, and I feed your fish, and you feed my fish, so then it could be that even the people who don't have fish, you know, you have to check all the details there. But there are a few cases, a few of these like strange intermediate cases where we could talk about differences. So I want to just get to, this is all the background of the historical development of muktzah and the rationale for muktzah and the two kinds of muktzah, which will set us up for the actual setup. And that's why if you notice, the way the Shulchan Aruch categorizes this siman is Dvarim Hamutarim V'Asurim L'Taltol B'Shabbos. How do we translate that? Items which are permitted and prohibited from handling on Shabbos. It doesn't say dine muktzah b'Shabbos. That's not what we're talking about here. We're going to talk about kelim. And that's why Shulchan Aruch starts out. Kol ha-kelim nitolim b'Shabbos. You can handle all kinds of kelim. Chutz mi-muktzah machmas chisaron kis. Except for something which is muktzah because of its chisaron kis. Everybody translate that?
Monetary loss.
There you go. Monetary loss. Something which is an expensive item. Kagon, for example, sakin shel shchita, o shel mila, a sakin of shchita or mila, which are expensive items that are rare, v'izemel shel safarim, and the special knife that's used by the sofrim, but you know, as indenting marks and stuff like that, they have specialized equipment. V'sakin shel sofrim shemisakin bo asakol musim. They have these specialized equipment for handling for sharpening the quill. Or I can imagine kaven shem. Or example, let's say a doctor's office. They have all kinds of specialized equipment. Or even one could suggest perhaps this recorder. It's a specialized piece of equipment that has a great value. So Shulchan Aruch explains. Since you won't use them for anything else, you can't handle it on Shabbos. Even if it's letzorech gufo and metzorech makomo. I want to get back to this next time. We'll talk about klishim lach tel iser, which is muktzah machmas chisaron kis. So let's just keep moving on. To Bayes, because this is going to be just to see inside what we spoke about. Kol kli, if it's a kli, afilu gadol, v'kaved harbe, even if it's giant, lo nisbatal shem kli mimenu, you have not nullified the shem kli, lo mipnei gadlo v'lo mipnei kovdo, not because it's big, not because it's heavy. So it could be, by the way, you could have a gigantic kli, but if it's not expensive, it doesn't have a specialized place, it's still Mutal Taltal. Kli Shemlachto Le'Isser. Gimel. This is what I want to close with tonight. And then next week we're going to go back to the beginning, because the Shulchan Aruch started with Kli Shemlachto Le'Isser with Chesron Kis, the money issue. I want to get that next week. Mutal Taltalo. If it's Kli Shemlachto Le'Isser, it's Mutal Taltalo for what? Top of the next column. Skip the Ramah for the moment. Bein Letzorach Gufo. Whether it's for itself. Could go on corner shell zahavim, like a hammer from goldsmiths, onafachim, or a silversmith, or another, a bellows, the guy who hammers, lifzor begozim, to cut nuts, kardum, or a saw, lachtoch bodvela, to cut a pressed fig's cake, bein letzarach makomo, or if you need the place, tahainu chitzarach lishtamish b'makom shakli munachsham, to use the place where the kli is placed there. Says the Shulchan Aruch, not only is it mutter to move it, you can even pick it up and move it wherever you want.
Yeah. I don't get that. Chisaron kis versus iser. Yeah. Why is chisaron? Why can't you use it for mishum makom?
Excellent. So we're going to leave. That is going to be an entire evening unto itself. We'll talk about that for next week. Muktzah machmas chisaron kis is an unusual circumstance. We're going to have to explain why it is that it doesn't have these kulas. What's the origin of that iser? Why is it different? So we're going to get to that bleh neder next week, next Monday night. But for the time being, if it's okay, if we hold that, because it's a whole, that itself is a whole story. How did it come to be? Why is it the way it is? And what are the implications of that lamaisa? But now we're saying this interesting thing that you can handle it and put it anywhere. So let's say I have my kit, which is, again, many poskim say one of the differences between the tier 1 muktzah and tier 2 muktzah. Let's say I pick up my kid's toy. Do I have to pick it up and drop it the second that it's out of my hand? That it's out of my way? No. Once I have it in my hand, my muktzah item, my scissors. Exactly. Masha'en came, many poskim point out, when it comes to muktzah mamish, that you can't carry it just because you started picking it up. And that's what the Magen Avraham is making this point, even in the case of Shachach. If you look in Zion on the right-hand side on the top, Tekevet Shubiyoto Rashai Latal Talo Yoser, no problem. Once you started carrying it, you can carry it as long as you want. V'nirali da'afilu shachach v'not labiyad rashai latal to lo yoser. Even if you by accident picked it up. If I, let's say I, by accident, I went, I picked up something, I didn't realize it was a muktzah toy. Again, I'm using the word muktzah in the vernacular. I picked it up, so what do I have to drop it? No, it's still in my hand. But, if you look here, in the Shari Tshuva, go down where it puts the asterisk, you see, about halfway down this page, in the sections called Shari Tshuva, where it has the asterisk, I'm on page Reish, I'm in Tuf Mem Vav still. You see where it's the asterisk? He quotes second line at the end of the line. Avol b'muktza gomor afilu bol yodo me'erev Shabbos v'shachach ki higia kishi higia Shabbos tzorech lahanicho miyad. You have to put it down immediately. This is another distinction from the original tier 1, tier 2. If it's tier 2, it's Isser Tiltul. If you've got it, either because you picked it up, let's start Kufa Makomo, and now you want to move it somewhere else, or you got it because you picked it up, says the Magen Avraham, by accident, or you had it from Erev Shabbos, you went to Shul, and you didn't realize you had a Kalisha Malachla Isser in your pocket, no problem, you can carry it home. But, says the Shari Tshuva, if it's Muktzah Mamish, let's say I found 25 cents in my pocket, so I can't carry it all the way home. I gotta drop it right there.
Right.
Because that would be considered a muktzah mamish item, because it has no utility on Shabbos, a quarter and a penny. So money falls into the category of muktzah mamish. So even though it's iser to be metaltal, klisha malachta le'iser, we have the heter of tzorach gufo, tzorach makomo, and tiltol, what we could call colloquially tiltol aroch, carrying it a long distance.
Why is money not machmad iser?
Well, you tell me.
It's got utility. Why is it not some sort of kli in some way?
Well, because on Shabbos, there's no utility, has no use. Mm. You can't use it to, it's like a rock.
You can bid on aliyahs with it.
No, that's what they have, paper clips.
Oh, okay. I mean, but how strictly are we going to define what is and is not a klish malach to lister? I can envision using a quarter to pry open a stubborn.
Bingo. Okay, great.
Pistachio. Right.
Great, whatever, great, great. You know? Bingo.
It is a kli. It's built. It's made into something of form. It's
oh, not so that's like interesting. So again,
like
going
that.
To define a kli is a whole question in and of itself. For Shabbos purposes, a kli usually is defined by utility. Hishtamshus, utility. Now, so you're pointing out, what do you mean? Sticks also have utility. Oh, yes. Ilan, he has a stick collection.
No, but sticks different than money.
Is this,
money was fashioned and made by man into something.
Ah,
as opposed
but
to a stick, which is just a stick.
But let's say they made a rock. One of these, I have a rock collection.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the story with that? It was also made. It looks nice.
Right.
So every case we're going to have to look at, we'll see later on, that we're going to have to look at the default of what's the utility of this item. So a quarter, the default is, has no utility, just like a rock. But some rocks have use.
Like the ones they throw over a whole body.
Exactly, you want to throw it at somebody. Or you want
to set those rocks aside. Whatever they do.
Oh, that's what we're going to talk about. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to have to talk about that in Shulchan Aruch. How do you get these, so the same thing for the quarter.
Uh-huh.
Can I now decide on Shabbos I want to use the quarter? So the simple pshat is no, because by default, the quarter is not useful. Just like I can't pick up a rock on Shabbos and say, you know what, right now I want to use this rock to break open my my nut because I can't get it open. Mm-hmm. When Shabbos entered, the Isser was chal. It settled in on this item. So even though you're right, the people, they designed it for something. This is one of the interesting shadows that comes up when people go to the hospital on Shabbos. The person's driver's license is also muktzah. Because again, has no utility.
Why isn't it a klisha malach to l'iser?
Because a klisha malach to l'iser presumes that it has some sort of utility.
Okay, so money has utility, but it's just iser because you can't buy anything.
Ah, okay. I hear what you're saying.
It's like abstract versus practical.
Interesting.
But I said
or a driver's license, you need. Well, driver's license is a little trickier because it's not doesn't by itself doesn't do something.
Exactly.
But money does. It's used for exchanging.
But I said the malacha was that the idea is that the object itself has an intrinsic use of malacha. There's an on and off switch. There's something, you know, money or a driver's license or something. There's no inherent or intrinsic malacha that you do with that object.
It's, well, exchange, it's, currency exchange is buying and selling.
Right. Well, that would be right. That would be an issur d'rabbanan. But you're pointing out, Jeff, that it would be difficult to categorize money as a kli shemalachto li isur. Unless the issur would be an issur d'rabbanan of mekach u'memkar.
Right, that I guess is more but, indirect, but there.
But I guess, I think you're raising an interesting point, which is why maybe we should treat money like a kli because it has this utility of buying and selling. But in that case, I think the doctor's point on this, the other doctor, in this case, the academic doctor, I come from the academy, so I'm noted in that direction, which is that it is useful, but not in and of itself. It's just because we gave it some abstract value and said, okay, now that it has the picture of Abraham Lincoln on it, you can now use it as a bartering system to exchange for something, but really, inherently, it's not the kli. So therefore, we'll have to talk about how to get these things mutter. Anyway, just to close this loop for tonight, Aval says the Shulchan Aruch, Mechamel etzel, but to go from, to take it out of the sun to the cold, Dehainu she'enu tzarech letaltalo, enu elo mipnei she'yare she'yishaver, you're just worried it's going to break, oh she'yiganev sham, then it's usser. It's usser. And now the Ramah adds what we started with. Kol mukza enu usser elo betiltol, aval benigia ba'alma she'enu menadano shari. If you're just touching it without moving it, there's no isser in doing that. That's a common misconception. Now again, the Aruch HaShulchan does say there is a reason not to do that, but strictly on the books. V'lachein mutar liga b'menorah shebebeis haknesses sheneiros dolgul salav. You can touch the lights. Oh, betanar shedolig bo. V'chein mutar liga dvar heter hamunach al dvar muktza. Let's say I have a dvar muktza and I have a dvar heter on top of it. So I can take off the dvar heter, even though I'm actually touching the dvar muktza, but I'm not moving it. Therefore, it's mutar. We'll get to that another time. We have to talk about different ways of being a taltal. So the summary is two tiers of mukta. There's mukta mamish, there's this or tiltal. Nafkamina, as we said about, so for example, tiltal aroch, can you continue to carry it? In terms of the historical development, perhaps the rationale, and the key heterim, the big difference is the tzorach gufo makomo, that in the case of the klisham lachta leheter, the klisham lachta leheter, so you do have those two mitigating factors. Okay? Shkoyach.